Good afternoon. WOR Mutual Special Features Division takes you once again to the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, where the annual New York Herald Tribune Forum is in progress. The general theme of the forum has been America's Second Fight for Freedom. Today, the discussion has been centered around saving democracy in the Western world. There have been a number of famous statesmen this afternoon, world famous, who have expressed their ideas before this gathering here in the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria. Among the ones we have heard are Mr. Joseph Barnes, foreign news editor of the New York Herald Tribune, Dr. Hu Shi, Chinese ambassador of the United States, Rear Admiral Yarnell, who spoke on defense of the seas, and also we had a broadcast from England, giving thoughts from England on this here famous day in New York City. A broadcast from here to England, in which a young boy refugee spoke to the folks back home. It has been quite a gathering, and on the speaker's platform right now is Mrs. William Maloney, editor of This Week. Perhaps if we swing over to the platform for just a minute, we can get the closing remarks of her speech. Mrs. Maloney.
It is just possible that some morning you might have to whisper, not sing, but whisper, those words. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? And if, like the unprepared French, our shameful answer had to be a dropping of the eyes, which could not face so ghastly a thing, we shall not have the defense that we were not warned. It must not happen. Ask yourselves that vital question from the national anthem. Ask it today. I believe that you have helped build the last ramparts of freedom because your group, the greatest group in America, has carried back to all the states the truths you have been told during the past 10 years. And you will carry back the more important truths you have just been told. We must expand that greatest of all fortifications, the human heart, and find comfort to sustain us in the knowledge that we are armed with the greatest of all weapons. We have faith in the strength and the righteousness of our national life. God love you.
We have just heard Mrs. William Brown Maloney speaking before the Herald Tribune Forum at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. Now, in the fifth and final session of this three-day forum, we shall hear an address by President of the United States. Mrs. Ogden Reed, Vice President of the New York Herald Tribune, who presides over the forum, will introduce the President, who will speak from Washington. Here is Mrs. Reed.
Until the last minute, we had hoped that the candidate for President on the Democratic ticket would come in person to the forum on its 10th anniversary. And we are full of regret that he has found it impossible to do so. I want you to know, however, that as usual, he has given every cooperation in the development of the program. I have the honor of presenting to you in a broadcast from the White House a man who is carrying the burden of two heavy responsibilities, one as candidate for re-election, the other for administering the greatest executive position in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Mrs. Reed, members of the Herald Tribune Forum, in closing this forum on the subject Saving Democracy, I can think of no better text than the final words of the speech which Abraham Lincoln gave in Cooper Institute in New York City on February 27th, 1860. Lincoln was then speaking to an audience to whom he was a stranger. Represented in the audience, said the New York Tribune of that day, was the intellect and moral culture of the city. Lincoln warned them against the fearmongers and the calamity howlers, the appeasers of that troubled time, appeasers who were numerous and influential. He said this, "Neither let us be slandered from our duty by false accusations against us, nor frightened from it by menaces of destruction to the government, nor of dungeons to ourselves. Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. We do well to repeat Lincoln's declaration of faith today. It gives the right answer, the American answer, to the foreign propagandists who seek to divide us with their strategy of terror. The repeaters of these slanders to our democracy, whether conscious disorganizers or unwitting dupes, seem to believe that if they tell us often enough that democracy is outworn and that we are decadent, we will begin to believe it ourselves, and we will immediately, obediently, proceed to decay. They have a strange misconception of our national character. They believe, for one thing, that we Americans must, as they say, be hybrid, mongrel, undynamic. So we are called by the enemies of democracy, and we are called so because they say so many races have been fused together in our national community. They believe we have no common tradition. They believe that we are disunited and defenseless because we believe in free inquiries and free debate, because we argue with each other, because we engage in political campaigns, because we recognize the sacred right of the minority to disagree with the majority and to express that disagreement even loudly. They believe that we are no match for a dictatorship in which uniformity is compulsory, in which each lives in terror of his neighbor, and worse still, in terror of himself, because the dominant atmosphere is that of the concentration camp. Despising democracy and not knowing our strength, those who have destroyed other free peoples deem the United States an effete, degenerate democracy. At first, we dismissed this contempt with our traditional spirit of good humor. We are now replying to it in characteristically American terms. We are preparing for the defense of the American continents and of the oceans that are the highways of those two continents. And we are doing so in a mood of determination, but unafraid and resolute in our will to peace. We are aware that the dictators are quick to take advantage of the weakness of others. As to the humorless theory that we are hybrid and undynamic, mongrel and corrupt, and that therefore we can have no common tradition, let them look at most gatherings of Americans and study the common purpose that animates those gatherings. Let them look at any church sociable in any small town, at any fraternal convention or meeting of doctors or mine workers, at any cheering section of any football game. Let them look with a special attention at the crowds which will gather in and around every polling place on November 5th. Let them observe the unconquerable vitality of democracy. It is the very mingling of races dedicated to common ideals which creates and recreates our vitality. In every representative American meeting, there will be men and women and children with names like Jackson and Lincoln and Isaac and Schultz and Stuyvesant and Olson and Kovacs and Satori and Jones and Smith. These varied Americans with varied backgrounds are all immigrants or the descendants of immigrants. All of them are inheritors of the same stalwart tradition, a tradition of unusual enterprise, of adventurousness, of courage, to pull up stakes and get moving, as they used to say. That has been the great compelling force in our history. Our continent, our hemisphere, has been populated by people who wanted a life better than the life they had previously known. They were willing to undergo all conceivable perils, all conceivable hardships to achieve the better life. They were animated, just as we are animated, by this compelling force today. It is what makes us Americans. The bold, the adventurous men of many origins were united in their determination to build a system which guaranteed freedom for themselves and for all future generations. They built a system in which government and people are one, a nation which is a partnership and can continue as a partnership. That is our strength today. The strength of every dictatorship depends upon the power of the one almighty dictator, supported by a small, highly organized minority who call themselves the elite. We depend upon the power and allegiance of the 130 million members of our national community, from whom our government's authority is derived, and to whom our government is forever responsible. We gain in strength through progress, social, intellectual, and scientific. The more we perfect means of human communication between all parts of our community, the more united we become. Just as I, as elected head of your government, am privileged to talk to you over the radio, you talk to me. That is partnership. And it means that when together we make a decision, we act upon that decision as partners, and not in the inhuman manner of a capricious master toward his slaves. The constant free flow of communication among us, enabling the free interchange of ideas, forms the very bloodstream of our nation. It keeps the mind and the body of our democracy eternally vital, eternally young. We see, across the waters, that system undergoing a fearful test. Never before has a whole free people been put to such a test. Never before have the citizens of a democracy, men and women and little children, displayed such courage, such unity, such strength of purpose under appalling attack. Their homes and their schools across the water, their churches and their national shrines are being destroyed. But there is one mighty structure more enduring than marble, more precious than all that man has built, and that is the structure of the democratic faith. We have confidence in the ability of the democratic system, which gives men dignity to give them strength. And so we say with Lincoln, let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us dare to do our duty as we understand it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard an address by the President of the United States. Introduced by Mrs. Ogden Reed, Mr. Roosevelt spoke to the New York Herald Tribune Forum, which is convened in New York City. This broadcast originated through the facilities of WOL in the nation's capital. This is Walter Compton speaking from Washington. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.